What do you call two guys that were there when this happened?
Back to return at Spurlock. Michael Spurlock at the 10. He's to the 20. He's to the 25. Spurlock 30 to the 40-yard line. We could see history. 50, 40 to the 30-yard line. Yeah. Run, Michael. Run, Michael. Run, Michael. Run. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. There you go.
And that.
Shotgun set. Three receivers left. Here's the snap, and the blitzer is picked up. Brady underneath. Caught ball, Evans. He has the record at the 11-yard line. Mike Evans becomes the first NFL player in league history to record 1,000 yards or more in his first seven seasons, and what a throw by Brady. Congratulations, Mike Evans.
Who can forget?
Gannon looking again. Throws up the middle. That's intercepted at the 30. Derrick Brooks, 30. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Derrick Brooks, the most valuable player in the National Football League. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Here's the snap. Mahomes running to his right. Look out. He may run. Mahomes directly. Oh, toward the end down. Battle. Intercepted. Picked off at the end zone. Bucks are going to beat the Chiefs. We're the champions of the world, and we still have a minute 33 to go. Devin White. What a great second season. That's it for KC. Bucks are the Super Bowl champs. They can't stop the clock.
We call them the Salty Dogs.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's Salty Dogs podcast. I am Scott Smith.
I am Jeff Ryan.
We are the Salty Dogs.
We are, and I'm well rested.
Yeah, we don't really have much to be salty about. So no. Unless like you don't like getting your weekend at home. Or, well, I mean, we didn't have a game. We had a bye week.
That's true. That's true.
And you rested up, huh?
I did. Watched a lot of football.
Saturday, that was the cool thing.
Watched college football. That was a lot of fun. Watched Baker Mayfield on game day.
I saw that. Yeah. I came across that accidentally. I'm like, wait a minute, is that Baker?
Yeah.
And then it made sense because it was Oklahoma.
Yeah, he is really good.
By the way, I'm a Sooners fan.
You are.
Did you know that about me?
Oh, that's because you were born there.
I was born on the campus.
Sure.
Well, or at that hospital closest to campus.
My dad Norman, Oklahoma.
My dad was a grad student.
Hmm. And then on Sunday, the international games are really great when you don't have to work them. However, it was really kind of nice starting at 9:30 in the morning and going all the way until after 11 o'clock at night, nonstop football.
I would have enjoyed that early game from London, but more if I'd remembered before like 11 o'clock that there was already football on.
And that was a really good game, Jacksonville and Buffalo. Good game.
I saw some of it. Once I found it was there, I watched it, but I can't. I don't do pregame shows. I get no value out of them, so I don't ever turn games on until like 1 o'clock.
Right.
So I didn't stumble across it accidentally until like 11 o'clock, and then I'm like, oh yeah, there's games.
Yeah.
What I saw, I watched most of the Miami game, and it was not close, but that was good because they were playing. Weren't they playing Carolina? No, Detroit played Carolina. Miami
Did
played
you
the
watch?
Giants.
Yeah. You didn't watch New Orleans playing New England?
No, I didn't watch that one.
Yeah, that was on at the same time.
I went over to my friend's house, and he has the ticket, so we could pick whichever one we wanted.
That's the best.
And we were watching Miami. The thing about Miami, we've all read about it. We all know what's happening down there. We've all read the little notes about how the six highest recorded speeds by anybody in the league this year are all by Dolphins. We all know about it, but this is the first time I've actually seen it in action this year.
Pretty impressive.
That speed really shows up.
Didn't their running back get hurt?
Unfortunately. Yeah. He had another huge game, and just one play where he just takes the ball and gets to the edge so fast that nobody can catch him, and he's like shot out of a cannon. Devin Achane. He just got put on IR, which is unfortunate. We're not playing the Dolphins, so I would have liked to have seen more of him. He'll be back, but he's out for at least four games.
Wow.
But, yeah, that team speed really, really shows up.
It's fun to watch games when you don't have a real – when you're going to feel good either way, whether they win or lose. You
know? Yeah. I went on Saturday. I don't normally watch a lot of college football, but I happened across Georgia Tech-Miami. And since my son is at Georgia Tech, I had a rooting interest, so I started watching that one. It ended up being a really good game. Did you see how it ended?
No.
So Georgia Tech was winning like 17-10, and then Miami made a late comeback and went up by a field goal. And so there's about 6 minutes left. Georgia Tech gets the ball back. Can't do anything with it. Punt it back, so they obviously need to get a stop before Miami can run it all the clock. Well, they can't. Miami gets like three first downs. They're down to like 40 seconds left in the game. Georgia Tech is out of timeouts, and it's third down. So all they have to do is kneel, literally. This isn't like – it shouldn't have been difficult to figure out. They kneel, it would have been down to like 20 seconds, and then they could have just walked – they wouldn't have had to snap on fourth down. They would have ran out. They ran a play instead. They gave it to the running back. Georgia Tech managed to cause a fumble.
Next play they threw for a touchdown.
It took Two completions. Yeah. But they had 26 seconds. They went 75 yards, including of like.
Who were they playing?
Miami.
Yeah. Okay. That's. Yeah.
So their head coach is just getting hammered this week.
Well, yeah.
Because he lost them the game.
Yeah. How do you not just do a kneel down? That's the question. Talk about not understanding the game at that point in time.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine that nobody on the sideline was like, hey, wait, coach, we don't. Yeah.
No, it is. College football is always fun because crazy stuff like, yeah, that's the stuff, you know, you just kind of go, no matter what the score is, that's okay. It's only in the second quarter. Who knows what's going to happen at the end. But the Oklahoma game was very good.
I love the way it ended.
Their quarterback reminded me a lot of Baker Mayfield.
Oh, really?
Very much so.
They've got a type.
Before
we go any further, sure. Two things. We have some questions from fans, like usual. And yeah. If you would like to do that and we answer them in future episodes, you can email us at saltydogs@buccaneers.nfl.com. I did email back a guy after our last show because I realized right afterwards that we answered a lot of questions, but I just somehow skipped over his.
Right.
He's a fan that we've heard from before in Berlin, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay.
He answered back. So I'm going to take care of that one this week when we get to that. We do that at the end, the third segment. Between this and that, we will have an interview with rookie wide receiver Trey Palmer.
Looking forward to that.
Who's really had a nice start to his career.
Very much so, yes.
Especially as a sixth-round draft pick to be playing as much as he's playing. Through four games, he only has six catches, so it's not overwhelming. But that's because we've been throwing the ball a lot to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, obviously, right?
But doesn't he have
and
two
we've been running a lot. He has two touchdowns,
yeah,
yes.
Six catches and two touchdowns. That's pretty.
Well, he tends to make every touchdown catch something dramatic and impressive.
Very much
like
so.
Like this last one, it very much looked to me, okay, on the play, we're at the one-yard line at second down. We put it's two tight ends, but we had trips to the left at the very edge of the line with Godwin and Devin Tompkins and I think Cade. And then Trey was all alone, split out to the right. And he just ran the simple, go up a couple steps, give him a couple jukes, and run the fade. Mm-hmm. And Baker just passes, throws it immediately. It's a completely one-on-one play. There's no chance of another defender getting there. But you also have to make a really good throw
right. To
give your guy a shot. I'm looking at this play, and I'm like, that would almost certainly be Mike Evans right there if he wasn't out of the game with a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who we always isolate for the quick fade because he's done it a bajillion times. You know how good, and he's tall and you know how good he is. It's kind of impressive to me that they gave that play to Trey and not say Chris.
Sure.
It says a lot, I think, about what they think he can do in contested catch situations like that and how he can handle the big moment. And sure enough, he did. It was
very,
great.
Very confident young man.
I think we're going to find that out.
Well, enjoy seeing him.
Okay.
The
big news that we just got just a little while before recording this.
Okay, before we go into that, you're going to talk about captains?
Yep.
Okay, hold off before that. Before we forget, our friend down in Australia sent us the audio.
Oh, yeah.
And we played it in our last podcast. And not thinking, because I don't ever see the questions or really know what's going on, probably what I should have done is we should have listened to it,
yeah. And
then I could have edited it together. So please accept my apology that you're not getting our immediate reaction to it, but those of you who heard it, it's pretty cool. I'd like to hear more of that show because they're very funny. Very, very funny.
Trying to find the
I think
email.
It's
Elliot Lovejoy.
Yes.
So he has a radio show, and it sounded like there was one other woman and one other man. Yep. So it was a three-person booth.
Morning show.
Maybe a morning show.
Yeah.
We only had like a 2.5-minute clip because that's when he was telling them about us.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I think she said, would I enjoy the podcast? She said, well, if you're a fan of the Buccaneers.
Yeah. Well, she said, is it good? And he goes, well, if you're a fan of the Bucs. which I thought, well, you could have said, yeah. I mean, it's good no matter what.
Well, I will say this. Having listened to that very small sample, they're a lot funnier than we are.
Oh, yeah.
They are really funny.
Well, she's very, very funny.
Yeah, she was very,
very witty. But thank you for sending that, and we did enjoy it. And
we put it in. We played it. Yeah. So if you listen to last week's podcast all the way to the question section, you would hear it.
Sure. And the other side of what was I going to say?
You're struggling.
I am. I really am. Well, I've been off. I haven't worked in five days.
So you're not back in the groove yet?
I'm not even close to being in the groove.
You better get it together before game day. bro.
I can't believe what I was going to say just flipped out of my head. Well, it must not have been. It must not have been.
Can I go back then to team captains?
Yeah.
They were just announced today. I guess they probably voted. Maybe they voted on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you vote and then count the votes right there in front of the players.
No.
So the players all vote. And you can have a maximum of 8 captains. The NFL only allows 8 C's on jerseys. Uh-huh. And we used all 8 spots.
I like it.
And the players voted for some of the ones you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Levante David for the 10th time. Yeah. Mike Evans for the 7th time.
Okay.
And Devin White for the 4th time.
Okay.
Which is a lot when you've only played 5 seasons.
Yeah.
And then this was the 2nd year row for Vita Vea. But we got some new guys in there. For the first time in his career, Chris Godwin is a captain.
Yeah, I like it. Which, I like that choice.
In retrospect, maybe it's just because usually we've only had 2 or 3, mm-hmm. and the quarterback almost always takes up 1 spot. Like, and then Mike Evans is just kind of, yeah, of course, everybody's mm-hmm. going to keep voting for Mike Evans. So I think maybe it's just first opportunity for him, but it's good. And he said he was very pleased. Let me see. I got his quote right here. To be named that because it's your peers, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's...
He said, I think it means a lot because it's indicative of what my teammates think of me. Oh. I pride myself on being a hard worker uh-huh. and doing things the right way. I'm grateful and appreciative of my guys.
Very fair.
Sounds like Chris Godwin.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Indicative is a good word.
Yeah.
Especially when, like, it's not written.
No.
He just came up with that at the
okay.
moment. Okay. And then also first time for Antoine Winfield Jr.
Wow.
And I'm in support of him getting
yeah.
whatever exposure
seem,
possible.
I seem to be on track. On
I'm kind of
one.
The biggest Antoine Winfield fan.
Yeah, well, he's certainly performing enough to make a lot of people fans.
I might not be a bigger fan of his, however, than Rondae Barber.
Yeah,
he said in his last film session video that we put up late because it was the bye week.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it went up till Monday or something like that. But he broke down that play where Antoine broke up the pass in the end zone. We've already talked about the Saints game, so we don't have to go deep into right. it again. But he said during the video, he's like, he may be the best safety in football right now.
Wow.
And then, so I had a different shoot with Rondé yesterday, and afterwards we were talking about Winfield. And he's like, yeah, because I say I've been stumping for him to be an all-pro for a couple of years. And I says, yeah, he's obviously should be. He's like, he doesn't have the huge interception numbers
mm-hmm.
that oftentimes get you the votes.
Right.
Because some safety in the league is going to have 6 picks this year, and that gets you votes. But he says no safety in the league does more. Like, he does so much.
Right.
And it's true.
No
question. Bucs use him in so many different ways, and he's good at all of it. So that's great. And then the other one, Baker Mayfield, it's his first time as a captain for the Buccaneers, obviously.
Yeah.
But he was also one for 1 year in Cleveland, and for the last year he was voted a captain by Carolina. Even yeah. I know the season kind of fell
sure.
apart, but... and then one more. Who am I forgetting here? Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah.
He's also a first-time captain, which I misremember because I thought he was a captain last year. But, yeah, still, that's pretty good. He's in his 4th season.
Yeah.
Because he started in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and Anton were both rookies in 2020.
Wow. That's crazy how fast time flies.
I know.
Jeez, really? 20, 21, 22?
23.
Oh, wow.
So Antoine, as a non-first-round pick, got a 4-year deal, the mm-hmm. standard 4-year deal for rookies, and that means he's in the final year of his current contract. We're going to talk about that a little later, thanks to a question of
sure.
fans sent in. So, anyway, those are your captains. And
yep, and they were voted on, and everyone accepted the vote. You got to love it.
And I think, as Antoine said, you know, because somebody asked him, Todd Bowles decided, instead of having the team vote, like, right before game one, the first game, which uh-huh. is pretty common.
Yes.
He wanted to wait a little while into the season, and Antoine said he liked, somebody asked him about it, he said, yeah, I think that was a good idea because it kind of allowed us to see who emerged as leaders.
And who, yeah, and who you're playing with, considering how many new people are on
yeah,
the
who's
team.
Actually yeah. leading, and now 4 weeks in, you can see that, and I think that was on purpose. Well, sure, it was on purpose. That was the plan. But maybe it was, I would think Baker Mayfield is the one that's the biggest beneficiary of that because
sure.
quarterbacks generally are voted as captains. I remember one year when Jameis had been a captain and then wasn't voted a captain.
Yeah.
That was kind of a story.
Mm-hmm.
But when Baker Mayfield's like one of the new guys here, hasn't played a game yet, I wonder if vote goes differently than a month later when he's clearly a big-time leader and the guys really are joint following him.
Yeah. Huh. So. Well, I think all of them definitely could be a leader on their own. So I like it, all eight. I don't think all eight are coming out for the coin toss.
No, I think you can only do six.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, so okay. They'll probably rotate.
Four and four defensive guys?
Yeah, four defense and four offensive captains, and then they'll probably do three and three on game days to go out for the flip.
All right. Well, no on.
Or maybe they'll do four. I don't know.
Well, we're going to find out on
Sunday.
They
could just alternate the offensive guys 1 week and the defense. Or they could have them travel in twos. Uh-huh. So there's two offense and two defense.
Look at you doing those math things.
Other thing, also watching all that football on Sunday, I did not watch the Saints game.
I did.
And they must have looked pretty good, huh? I mean, New England's really struggling.
New England didn't look good at all. It wasn't even close. And I'm not going to say it. Look at There's enough animosity between the Saints and the Buccaneers, so I'm not going to add to it. But New England's not very good.
No, that's clear. And they had been destroyed the week before by what? Buffalo, Miami,
Miami. Well,
Boy, you're having a tough time talking
bad.
Today.
They're just bad.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, outcome of the last two games, maybe this isn't true, but I know through the first like 3 or 4 weeks of the season, the story about the Patriots was, Mac Jones and the offense, and it's just not working out, even with Bill O'Brien there.
Right.
But usually the same things would say, but they do have a really good defense.
Yeah. No.
I mean, what'd you say?
I said, yeah, no.
Well, they had been doing well.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of. They lost 25-20. They lost 24-17 to the Dolphins. So, you know, they beat the Jets 15-10, but, you know, that was Zach Wilson. So the last two games, they've lost 30-3 and to the Cowboys and 34-0 to the Saints.
Yeah.
And the two worst losses in a row in Belichick's career.
And I believe that's the most points the Saints put on.
That was what I was going to say.
Yeah.
In a way, it kind of makes our win over the Saints look better.
Correct.
Because the Saints scored 9 against us and 34 against what is considered a pretty good defense in New England.
Yeah.
I mean, you watched and don't think so,
but
I can tell you the storyline about New England for the first month was that, their defense pretty good.
I saw someone tweet out, for those of you who, for those of you under 25 or under 30, welcome to the old New England Patriots, which is very true.
Yeah.
Because they weren't very good.
They did make the Super Bowl in 85.
Yeah, in 97, I think.
They got demolished by that famous Bears team.
Yeah.
And
then they got beat by the Packers, I believe.
Yeah.
In New Orleans.
Was that with Drew Bledsoe as the quarterback?
Yes.
That was so, good. I mean, they've had some pockets of... Before the Brady Belichick era, they had some pockets of.
Well, ever since Brady left, they haven't made it to the playoffs in four straight years. So
I think they did make it the first year.
Did they?
In 2021, they made it.
Okay.
They lost their first game, so the first year without Tom, they went 7-9.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went 10-7, and that would be the first year of Mac Jones.
Okay, that's pretty.
But we beat them that year, if you remember.
Yeah, I do. In the rain.
Oh. And then they went 8-9 last year, and they're 1-4 right now.
Okay. Wow, that's a hard go there.
Well, I mean, things happen, you know.
It's week to week, and that's the other thing is, I mean, how does Miami put 70 points on the board and then lose to Buffalo, and then Buffalo loses to Jacksonville, who was struggling?
Yeah, one of the things...
All in three-week period.
One of the things that's come out as a big storyline since that Jacksonville win is that they are really crediting the fact that they stayed there because they're the first team to play two straight London games. So they played one game, stayed in London, and were therefore more acclimated and more rested for the game against Buffalo than Buffalo was.
Yeah, but I'll say this. Teams have a choice. They can go on Monday and spend all week there before the game.
Which we would.
Which we did one
year. We did one time, yes.
And
it was great.
Teams can decide how they want to do it, whether they want to spend, you know, they could go, your game's over with on Sunday, you fly on Monday, so you're there for a number of days. Or you go, or as they say, you treat it like a West Coast trip, which sometimes is just a two-a-day. And last time when we went to Germany, which is even further, we went on a Thursday.
Right.
Came back on a Sunday.
Yep.
So I kind of get that, but...
But my point being, generally, the two teams are doing roughly the same thing.
True.
Jacksonville was there the whole week, didn't have to fly. Mm-hmm. They had to do that before their first game in London, but for the second one, they were already acclimated to the time change. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the stress or the fatigue of travel.
That's true.
But the Bills did.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, you could never know how much that mattered, but certainly it seemed like the players on the Jacksonville side believed that that made a big difference.
Well, also, I think with Buffalo, unfortunately, they are getting a slew of injuries, and getting better for them. I think that's a big part of it.
Their defense is decimated by injuries.
And Jacksonville played a really good game. I mean, they had like almost double the offensive plays. Time of possession was almost double.
Yeah.
But they only had 11 points going into the fourth quarter. So they as much as Buffalo was struggling, Jacksonville really wasn't putting it away, and finally they did. But that was a very good game. That was a very good game.
We're going to play both those teams, aren't we?
We are. That's, you know, it's funny you say that because I did watch the Saints. Curious was to see what the Saints were going to do against New England. The reason why I watched the Buffalo game and Jacksonville game is because we are playing both. And I kind of like to get a better feel for it.
Well,
and
it was also the only game on at that time.
Well, that's true. But you didn't remember that and you didn't watch it. So I made a point to make sure that I had the TV on at 9:30 in the morning.
So anyway, my point was that the Saints win in dominating fashion. It was in New England, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just makes our win over them look better because their offense couldn't do anything against us.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a lot against New England.
And then, you know, you talk about spending a day watching football, and then the top it all off was the 49ers-Dallas game.
Which was not as competitive as I was hoping it would be.
Not even close.
And we have to play San Francisco. At San Francisco. You're the one who always says it's a week-to-week game.
It is. So it'll be, and right now, if we had to play them this week, I'd be a little nervous, but we'll have to wait and see what the other weeks are. Watch your foot in the wire right there. There you go.
They've won 30-7, 30-23, 30-12, 35-16, and then 42-10.
I know.
They're a good juggernaut right now.
Yeah, they're very, very good. They're very, very good, and they have a very good good system, good quarterback, good
Brock
defense.
Purdy, everybody's kind of finally saying, okay, Brock Purdy's actually good.
He hasn't lost a regular season game. He didn't start the
He did start. He just got hurt immediately.
In the playoff game? Yeah.
The second playoff game. They won their first playoff game, and then they lost to – maybe they had to play two.
They lost to the
Philly,
Eagles.
But he got hurt immediately.
Correct.
So of any game that he started and played at least most of it, they're like 12-0 kind of in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's not a fluke. Just, you know, everybody kind of goes, I was reading something. Someone goes, oh, well, it's such a great system. That's why. You're like, really? Is that what you're saying? Come on.
Still have to find somebody who can run it. But here's the thing. Shanahan has always been known as a guy who's very good at scheming up a quarterback-friendly
attack.
Which is, by the way, a thing that Dave Canales says a lot about what he's trying to accomplish here. And they do kind of come from that tree.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when he had – they won a lot of games with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
I think they won a couple games with Nick Mullins. I mean, he's given credit, and rightfully so, for making an offense that some of these guys can really succeed in. But unlike Garoppolo, Brock Purdy is running that system well enough. He's not been perfect, but he's been good enough to make all those incredible weapons work. But he also – take some more shots than Jimmy ever did.
Yep.
He does bring a little bit of his kind of willingness to expand what the offense does a little bit more, too. So it's like you're getting both best of both worlds there.
After that game, Kyle Shanahan said that Purdy threw one bad throw. And one.
Wow.
And then looking back at the tape, it was, that's all he threw was one bad one.
Wow.
I know.
And then the other team, all the other teams.
Considering he was Mr. Irrelevant.
Literally. it saved the 49ers, that pick. Because
because they traded for Trey Lance.
They mortgaged the future for Trey Lance, thinking they were getting the, which you're willing to do. And if it works and you end up with a franchise quarterback for 10 years, then you're fine with it. But when you try that and miss miserably, it has drained so much of your resources that it can kill you. So, but they happen to use the very last pick of the draft on this Iowa State Brock Purdy kid, and now he's the guy that they were hoping Trey Lance would be. The same type of player, but still the franchise quarterback.
An interesting part about that is Greasy is the
quarterback's coach?
Yes.
Former Buccaneer Brian Greasy.
Yep. And he saw tape on Purdy and made a comment about, hey, we need to take a look at this guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then, but I kind of call it the Johnny Lynch factor. Mm-hmm. I mean, no matter what, it comes out roses, right? He's the general manager.
Yeah.
John Lynch. That's
Buccaneers
pretty funny.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And okay, so we saw the Saints. We didn't like it, but it does maybe make us look a little bit better. We saw Carolina.
Yeah.
Still can't get things right.
It's a hard go.
It's a rough go.
That's a hard go.
Yeah.
And how much patience is going to be there?
Well, okay. I'm sure they don't feel this way, but you can usually write off an 0-5 team.
Right.
They're almost certainly not going to
contend
for the postseason. So why bench your young quarterback now?
No, play him.
Play him, right?
Give him
doesn't get hurt because he's small.
Give him experience. Make it happen. No, I'm all about that.
So Carolina, obviously we want all the other teams in our division to
lose.
So we're not trying to pile on Bryce Young or anything, but it's good for the Bucs that Carolina looks like they're the one non-contending team in the division.
Well, I think part of the problem, too, is that before the season started, everyone thought the Bucs were going to be the 0-5 team. Mm. You know, no one was giving any credit to what was being done in this building. So I think that's part of why it feels good when the other ones are losing.
Well, and then you have Atlanta, who had a pretty competitive game with...
I saw the end of that
game.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
With, who was it?
The running back?
No, who were they playing against? Who did they beat?
Houston. And they beat them in the last few seconds.
Yes, and that's the one note I have from that game here is... I hate the fact that they have such a good kicker.
Yeah. But they had to drive down the field to get to
I know, but my point was, as they kept getting closer, once they got within like 50 yards, I was like, they're going to make it because Younghoe Koo, he makes everything. He's a fantastic kicker. And so then they get to like, it's a 30, 35 yarder. I'm like, well, there's no chance he's going to miss
it. Yeah.
I mean, I stayed to watch just in case, but of course he did not miss it, and they won. And it seems like they've had a great kicker for –
Ever
now. I mean, Matt Bryant was so good for them for so long.
Yeah.
And now they just go right from him to Younghoe Koo, and he's like one of the best kickers in the league. And so that bummed me out a little bit. So Atlanta ends up winning, and they are now 3-2.
Yep.
And the Saints are now
3-2.
The Buccaneers are 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have there is there's pretty much a consensus thought going into this season that the NFC South would be wide open because none of the teams were good.
Right.
And so if New Orleans was just kind of good or Atlanta was just kind of good, they're gonna cakewalk to the division.
Sure.
Instead, it's a wide open thing that's going to be an exciting battle right to the end probably because there are at least three teams that at this moment look like they are good.
Mm-hmm. And they all have three wins. What other divisions have more?
No other division has every team three teams above 500.
Gee, there you go. And this is supposedly the weak division,
right? And for these two, three.
Yep,
nope.
Yep.
No other team has three teams over 500.
Right.
So, we have hardly even played each other. We beat New Orleans,
right?
And I think
Carolina got beat by Atlanta or New Orleans. Well, of course, Carolina got beat by one of them. I can't remember which one. I kind of want to say it was
Carolina lost to Atlanta and New Orleans.
Okay.
Those are their first two games.
All right.
I don't think Atlanta and New Orleans have played yet.
All right.
And we play Atlanta the week after this one.
Yeah.
Tampa.
Yeah. So, again, watching games that teams were going to play against. And Houston's better than everyone thought they were going to be.
They've been a little up and down, but their quarterback, they're the ones who look like they really got it right.
Yes.
So Bryce Young went first after Carolina traded up to get there. And then Houston stayed pat at two and took C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. And then I think the Colts took Anthony Richardson at 4. He's shown some good signs, but now he's on injured reserve. Oh, and their coach is not yet saying whether it's really just 4 weeks or it might be longer.
Yeah.
So I read recently it might be like 4 to 8 weeks, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
Although they have a pretty good backup in Gardner Minshew. But,
for the learning curve, though, too.
I would say most people have felt like C.J. Stroud has looked the best of those rookies.
I'd go with that.
And that Anthony Richardson looks pretty good. And so far it hasn't come together, which, I mean, it's 5 games.
Yeah.
But it hasn't really – it's not working yet in Carolina with Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say I'm rooting for him. I was rooting for him before the draft. It's hard to root for him now that he's a Panther.
Uh-huh.
So the best thing for the Buccaneers is if they missed on their attempt to get a franchise and spent several extra first-round picks to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much – the state of the NFC South there.
Gee, I didn't even think we were going to talk about that stuff. But honestly, that was kind of the weekend for us, track of everybody.
And Detroit took care of business against Carolina, right?
Yeah.
And
they looked good.
They rolled. The final score is 42-24, it really wasn't that close.
Not even from the beginning.
And we obviously were paying the attention to that game,
sure,
because we want Carolina to lose, but maybe we didn't want Detroit to look quite that good since we play them Sunday.
I have to say, it's an exciting story for the Lions, an exciting story for if you were a Lions fan. We've been there before where you haven't won in so long and then you start to win and it's fun again.
Do you know who the Lions' main running back was the last time they won a division?
Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders. In 1993.
Yeah.
That was Barry Sanders' fifth year.
Wow.
And he went to the Pro Bowl every year in his career.
I saw him play.
I
understand why.
He had at least 1,100 rushing yards in every season of his career.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
He only needed 10 years to get to 15,000 yards. Mm-hmm. That means he was averaging 1,500 yards a season.
He a very special player.
I know some people would say Brown,
James Brown. Yeah.
Jim Brown. Some people would say, what's his name for the Emmitt Smith. Mm-hmm. Some people might say Adrian Peterson, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah.
If I was gifted a team and was allowed to pick one running back at the beginning of his career, it's Barry Sanders, and I'm not even hesitating.
Yeah, and
so much fun.
Yeah, I have to think about Walter Payton, though, too.
I'm saying I would think he'd be on the list, but I would take Barry Sanders above. I'm doing that as a fan.
Very, very
durable. That's who I want to watch.
And he's very, very durable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Look, he didn't he missed a couple games as a rookie and then 5 games in 93.
He ended his career early because he just like, hey, I'm done.
Yeah, he didn't want it anymore.
Right.
He didn't want to do it anymore.
Right.
It's okay, though, because it was still one of the best running back careers of all
time.
It's
okay. I did my time. I'm done. Yeah.
Look at these numbers. If you're ever in a bad mood and want to cheer yourself up, go to YouTube and just search for a Barry Sanders highlight package because it's
all
so
there.
Fun.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And here's the good news. He's not playing for the Lions anymore.
However, David Montgomery is no Barry Sanders, but he's doing quite well
very
there.
Much so.
I always thought he was fairly average for the Bears, but he's playing really well for the Lions, and their running attack is unfortunately quite good.
Yeah.
Their rookie was hurt for this last game, Jahmyr Gibbs, but Montgomery still had a big game, and so that's a concern.
Very much so.
We've lost one of our 4 games this year, and that's the only game where the other team really got rolling on the ground against us.
And that was the Eagles.
Right, who have one of the best rushing attacks also.
Right.
The Eagles have a running quarterback that Detroit very much does not have, but he didn't run much in that game.
Yeah, I'm going on a limb. I don't think we played the best game, or I don't think the team played their best game.
Against Philly? It was not a good performance.
It was not a good performance.
Hey, so I'll take 3 performances out of 4. You'd like to have 4 out of 4.
I'm with you. Defensively for Detroit, pretty strong.
Which is the big difference for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so Detroit won 8 of their last 10 games last year, and they have clearly carried that momentum over into this year because they're 4-1 and have looked fantastic and are getting talk. The Buccaneers aren't really, but the Lions are getting talk as maybe they're the 3rd-best team in the conference and not Dallas.
Yep. I'd kind of go with that because Dallas hasn't really done anything this year. I mean, they're the Dallas Cowboys, but
they've murdered a couple teams. But then they got completely outclassed by San Fran, and they lost to Arizona.
Arizona counts. That's a big loss.
That's a bad one, but they are 3-2, and their 3 wins were lopsided.
Well, there's that.
So you can't say they haven't done anything.
No.
But Detroit, that's the big difference for them. Last year, they finished dead last in defense in yards allowed and 30th in points allowed.
Yeah.
So they were winning games by winning track meets.
Yeah.
But now they still have a pretty similar offense, but their defense is now ranked like sixth in the league,
mm-hmm.
And 15 in points, but sixth in yards. And they and Aiden Hutchinson in his second year,
unbelievable,
is a star.
Really,
I saw some clips of him earlier today, and he has an absolutely lethal spin move.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how Luke Getteke handles that.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke seems pretty confident, like, hey, it's another guy. This is what I have to do.
Well, they move him around, though.
Yeah.
And somebody was just talking about that. I think maybe it was
Coach
it was Baker.
Talked about it, too.
I think Baker talked about it, you know, how good Aiden Hutchinson is, and they move him around a lot, so you have to figure out where he is. So everybody's going to have to be involved in that effort to try to slow him down.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's tied for the league lead in quarterback pressures.
Right.
He's had at least 5 in every game so far this year for the Lions. So it's like, you're probably not going to completely keep him away from Baker Mayfield, mm-hmm. but as much as you can, you need to. Which is why I am sure that Dave Canales is once again going to try to keep the offense balanced and try to run the ball as much as possible.
And it should be a fun game. Apparently, everyone thinks it is because we got moved to 425, and I'm not happy about that, but I'll live with it.
Yeah, at least we didn't get flexed in the primetime.
Well, that's true.
It's only a few more. The weather will be nicer.
I will say this. Here's my frustration. My frustration is our game is getting moved to 425, but we're not the national 425 game. We are the backup game.
So,
in case the Jets don't play very well,
they can switch over.
Right.
I assume we'll have a bigger audience than we would have had at 1.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Which means everybody's going to get to see our beautiful creamsicle uniforms.
Yeah.
Everybody here is excited about that.
I know everybody's wearing orange. You have an old original.
This is actually, look at Russell Athletic.
I know, I saw that. I keep laughing every time I see
this
it.
This is
I have
the 90s.
I have a Russell Athletic jacket.
I bet you this was from 93.
Yeah. I can't decide what I'm going to wear. I feel like it's like, you know, Halloween or class picture day on who can outdo who in orange. So
yeah.
I really might pull one off. That
we're trying to get you to wear the Zubaz, Jeff.
I'm trying to decide whether if I wear it on Friday because that's creamsicle day and really deck out. Or do I do it tomorrow because there's an all-staff meeting and then I get all the, you know, the oohs and ahs right there
yeah,
and
probably
I steal
want
the
that.
Meeting.
You I think
that,
you want that yeah.
that's the one tomorrow? Yeah. Okay. I mean, I do have an array. You know what? It's funny. I found, I have a plastic bag of hats, original ones.
Bag of hats.
And
Jeff Ryan's bag of hats.
I found an old Buccaneer hat with number 87 signed on it and had to think about it for a while. Lamar Thomas.
It was Lamar Thomas?
Yes. How old is that?
Wow. Well, he was drafted in 93, I believe.
Yeah.
And only played for us like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. So how crazy is that, right?
Briefly played for the staff softball team, by the way.
Oh.
He could beat out like ground balls to the pitcher.
Yeah.
But then he'd just run through first and get thrown out at second.
There you go.
If you don't know what Zubaz pants are, Google it, and you'll see how striking these would be
and
that
I,
you have to wear around
And
the
I have originals.
Oh, man, you got to wear those.
Maybe. You're kind of getting me to that point. I was debating about it at lunch, but now that you're saying, and I guess I have to rep the Salty Dogs to really showcase that
you got to show that you were around.
We've been around.
I got tons of comments on my t-shirt.
And we're not going out buying new stuff. It's okay if you do. You should buy the new stuff if you don't have the old, but
some people,
the originals.
Some people see this t-shirt. Okay, so my t-shirt is basically like gray, like a heathered gray,
mm-hmm.
and all the print on it is just orange.
Yeah.
So it says
Tampa Bay.
There's an orange football with white stripes.
Yep.
And on the orange football, it says Orange Pride.
Yeah.
And then around the football in orange letters is Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
And then on the back, it says Russell. A lot of people are like, is it like a new item they made to look like the 90s?
Yeah.
And I turn around and they see Russell Athletic. They go, really from the 90s.
What I find interesting about that football is it looks like a college football.
It looks like a college football.
Because it's got the white stripes on it.
Yeah, and I don't know why they did that.
I don't know either. Now that I'm looking at it.
It's pretty iconic, though, isn't it?
Yes. Well done.
So if you're at home and you got some old orange stuff, pull it out this weekend.
I may have to.
Join us.
Yeah, I may have to go all out tomorrow.
If you're somebody who was considering or previously has and will do so again, send us emails.
Sure.
Send us, if you got any really cool old creamsicle gear. Send us a picture.
Yeah, I you know what else I found, Scott? It's pretty funny. You'll love this. And I made, you know, I have a winter old orange Buccaneer Bruce winter coat, the heavy one.
Oh, gosh.
The big one.
I may have one of those.
Yeah. It's funny what you put in the closet and then don't think about for a while.
You really should get rid of it.
Yeah, and then you kind of go, oh. And, of course, what I'm afraid of, I'm going to wear all this really cool stuff, and Joey Nelson's going to steal it from me.
Yeah, the resident
oh, he loves old school. Yeah, he is. You got to appreciate that, though.
Yep. So back to the Lions.
Okay.
Their second-year offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, who got some interviews for head coaching jobs.
I like that he said, no, I want to stay and finish this out.
So that was a win for them, and he's really throwing some interesting play calling.
Mm-hmm.
One of the weirdest things I saw this week is a kind of an unusual flea flicker.
Yeah, except?
Well, it was like a reverse.
Uh-huh.
So a reverse, don't get twisted what a reverse is. A reverse is not the quarterback handing to a receiver going in one direction. That's an end around. A reverse has to have two handoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you hand it to one guy going one way, and he hands or flips it to another guy going the opposite way. And that's a reverse if you continue on. But the guy that got the ball second then stopped and flipped it back to the quarterback.
Yep.
Who threw over the defense to the tight end.
Yep.
The funny thing about that is Detroit and San Francisco.
I was just going to say. Did you see how they mocked it up?
I didn't.
They put both of them together and started at the same time, and it's the exact.
It looked identical.
Yeah, and Kyle Shanahan said it's the same but different. I guess it was the uniforms.
Maybe they disguised them differently,
yeah,
or something. But
yes.
But the part where you would watch as a fan, which is where the ball is going,
it's exciting.
They look like instant replays of each
other.
And then another one that made me immediately text my son Alex, and I'll explain why, is Detroit actually ran a play.
Is it Detroit or Detroit?
It's probably Detroit.
Okay.
But I like to say Detroit.
I like Detroit, too.
Every now and then.
I like that.
In the
Hawaiian blue.
They were, yeah, I don't know why that their blue is called Hawaiian blue.
I don't know.
They were about the 14-yard line going in, mm-hmm. and Jared Goff was under center, and the running back was, I don't know which one, was lined up in a regular, like, I formation behind him, just directly behind him.
Yeah.
And the center snapped the ball through Goff's legs directly to the back. And then Goff acted like he was doing a keeper,
uh-huh.
and it was fooled enough defenders that the running back was easily able to run for like 7 yards.
So would you call those gadget plays?
That's a gadget play for sure.
Okay, so they're winning by gadgets.
No, they're winning by lots of ways, but they do have, you better be careful. You can't make any assumptions, and I guess you got to read your keys, as coaches and players always say, but it's like playing against, who's always coming up with new plays? Oh, Andy Reid. It's like playing against an Andy Reid. Uh-huh. You might see something you've never seen before.
Right.
But I coached my son and his friend's flag football team when they were kids for many years.
Right.
And we were kind of known, we won a lot, and we were kind of known for having a very deep playbook with a lot of interesting plays.
Uh-huh.
Especially when they were younger, they couldn't really, complete a lot of passes for much effect. You had to kind of come up with different ways to fool the defense with where the ball was going.
Uh-huh.
So we had a lot of tricky handoffs and stuff like that. Well, I always wanted to try the snap it through the quarterback's legs to the running back behind him. And I texted Alex. I'm like, I don't think we ever ran that, right? And he said, no, you talked about it a lot, but we never did it. And I think looking back, it's because, Jared Goff is a tall man.
Yeah.
These guys – I wasn't 100% sure that our center could get it through the quarterback's legs and keep it off the ground all the way back to the running back. And in most flag football, when the ball hits the ground, the play's dead.
Right.
So a bad snap is a lost play.
Yeah.
So I don't think I ever had the guts to try it because I didn't want to risk losing a play.
See that?
But can you believe they're snapping the ball through the quarterback's legs?
That's crazy.
Better be ready for anything this
weekend. Maybe someone was in your on your team that eventually
it's grown up now.
It's grown up and pushed it to the Lions, and it's all on you.
I think I would know because I
almost
we had a core, so I know all those kids.
Uh-huh.
The league would sometimes give you one or two other kids that just signed up without a team.
Sure.
So there were some kids that came and went, but I they're all only like 20 years old right now.
Yeah, but the thing is they may have talked about it because, like Alex said, all you did was talk about it.
So, If we're talking about Detroit still, yep. I will say they may be a little vulnerable in the secondary. So if you can slow Aiden Hutchinson and them down, because they were either last or close to bottom of the rankings in pass defense last year.
Right.
But one of the biggest things, concentrations they did over the offseason was to try to fix that secondary. So they got rid of Jeff Okuda, traded him to the Falcons. He was a former third overall pick. They didn't bring back Mike. Another quarterback that I can't think of right now. They let a couple guys, DBs, leave in free agency, and then they signed Cam Sutton from the Steelers. That was a good pickup.
Yep.
They signed Emmanuel Mosley, who is an oft-injured quarterback for the 49ers, who was good when he was on the field, but yes, he already got hurt again. So he's on IR. And another guy they signed, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who we know from the NFC South, because he was with the Saints, and he's one of the most well-known trash talkers in the league. So he's also on injured reserve. Their rookie second-rounder, Brian Branch, who a lot of people thought was going to go in the first round, a really versatile defensive back, kind of like Antoine Winfield from Alabama, slipped in the second round because he's not very big. And, you know, he just didn't have great testing numbers. Right. He was just – at Alabama, he was just a great player. So they're playing him in the slot. And he's looked really good.
But they're
a little thin.
Yeah. This game, I mean, it's one game out of the 17. But for whatever reason, I feel that this is a game that if the Buccaneers win, they're going to get the credit they deserve.
Yeah. This is absolutely that.
And if they don't, then it's going to be, you have three wins, but you know, they're not as
good.
It's
the Vikings who are struggling. It's the Bears who are struggling.
Right. And the NFC, you know, it's the Saints and you always battle each other hard. It's a very, very big matchup in that aspect.
Beating the Lions would almost have to make those who still aren't taking the Bucs seriously.
Yeah.
You'd kind of have to if we beat the Lions, right?
Right.
So I agree. This is a very good opportunity for the Buccaneers. Like, we always kind of jokingly talk about power pole stories.
Yeah.
And now we're not really moving up them. Yeah. Although I've seen some.
I saw up to 10.
I saw one that had us in the top 10, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. Appreciate that.
And it was almost like begrudgingly. They have to.
The one on the Ringer is not really moving the needle with us.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite sites.
That's why I want – that's –
If we beat Detroit, I'm pretty sure most – and we're 4-1.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure most – power polls will probably put the Bucs in the top 10 at that point.
At that point, but we'll have to wait. But, you got to earn it.
Yeah, you got to do it. We keep saying if because it's not a guaranteed thing. But, yeah, that's the one I think that finally puts us in the conversation as true NFC contenders.
And I don't see Detroit overlooking the Buccaneers because the one thing their head coach is, he understands what it takes to win every Sunday. And he's pretty much saying, hey, this is an opportunity to – get a road win against an NFC team. I mean, this is a big game. And it's creamsicle, so it's a big event for Buccaneer fans.
Right.
You know.
But wonder if some people will come in like 1970s
clothing,
I'm sure. You got some bell bottoms hidden in the back of your closet?
No, I don't, but that's funny. I like that.
Did you have bell bottoms in the 70s?
If you were cool.
Well, I was only 10 by 79, so I didn't have bell bottoms.
You didn't dress cool when you were a little kid?
I think we dressed economically.
You dress whatever your mom
I
gave
do.
You.
There's a picture of me that I saw a couple of years ago in my mom's stuff. I'm probably about 8, and I'm wearing brown corduroy pants.
Yeah.
That's not a good start already.
No, that's good. I like it.
You like brown corduroy?
Back in the day.
Corduroy was a big deal back then.
Corduroy was great.
Wasn't comfortable, though.
Well, it depends on where you lived, but continue.
And the shirt to go with this brown corduroy pants?
Orange.
Red, white, and blue terry cloth. Remember terry cloth?
Yes. Wow.
Red, white, and blue terry cloth shirt with brown corduroy pants.
I mean, nice.
I was kicking it, huh?
Yeah. Mom's colorblind.
I'm like, Mom, what the hell? How did you let me go outside in this garb?
Back then, it didn't matter.
70s were different.
Yeah,
man.
You just wore what you wore.
I made some pretty bad sartorial decisions in high school too.
Yeah,
like I had one of those Miami Vice jackets.
Oh, I could just see you.
You know, shapeless Miami Vice jacket. You rolled the sleeves. I had that for a while.
Cool.
I did that for a little while.
In a pastel color?
I used to wear a lot of sweaters, which I hate sweaters now.
Really?
And they were just my mom worked a second job at a clothing store, so we could get
a discount
there, and so I'd get these just kind of interesting sweaters, very just kind of unusual looking sweaters. Uh-huh. So yeah, those were some of my great choices that I made in high school.
Hey, listen, look at when you look back at everything, it's like the 80s and women's wear, the hair and the shoulder pads. You're looking at that going, when did it make sense that you look like a robot?
Yeah, exactly.
But at the time, it made sense.
Well, the big hair from the 80s, too.
Oh, yeah. Listen, there's nothing wrong with a can of hairspray in your hair to look good.
Okay, so another thing that I have written down here is, D. Delaney had to step up again. And we've had him on. Did we have him this year?
We did. That's when you named him 3D.
That's right, yeah, because he plays like three different positions. And so he played a majority of the Philly game at corner after the injury to Jamel Dean.
Right.
And then he played all but two plays at safety, because Ryan Neal got a concussion right away, and in D got a pick.
Yes.
He had one career interception going into those two games, and now he has three. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's funny because we have a guy on our roster who's listed as a safety, that would be Christian Izian, who's playing one of the cornerback positions for us, and we have D. Delaney, who has they call him a DB now, but he's mostly listed at a corner,
right?
Who's playing safety for us?
Yeah.
So it's almost becoming a positionless. The secondary is almost becoming positionless with us.
Yeah.
Like they should just call them all DBs, and it really doesn't matter where you line them up.
They get to plug and play.
It just Christian Izian has these specific types of traits that are good in the slot. So even if he's called a safety, he's good at that job.
Right.
D. Delaney has a good grasp on multiple jobs. So if you have to put them at safety, you do. So I just think that's interesting. And, big kudos to D for really stepping up the last 2 weeks. Now I think we are seeing – it's only Wednesday right now. We haven't even seen the first injury report of the week yet. But from the part of practice we were allowed to watch, it was kind of encouraging that it looks like possible returns by Jamel, who had a neck and shoulder thing.
Yep.
Kalijah Cansey.
Yep.
Who's been really since early in training camp has been dealing with a calf injury. He would be a real big asset to add to that defensive front. We saw even in only 11 plays that he was making an impact.
Did he get a sack that game?
He got a quarterback pressure on third down that caused an incompletion.
Okay.
He would probably just be special teams right now, but Servasi Dennis could be back.
Mm-hmm.
He's been out, I think, with a hamstring this whole time. Mike Evans, hopefully that hamstring that knocked him out for the second half in New Orleans, hopefully this has been enough time for him to be okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm forgetting one.
Carlton Davis.
Well, Carlton Davis came back for the New Orleans game.
Okay.
Ryan Neal, we just talked about him.
Right.
He got knocked out. He could be back. So you could be a lot closer to full strength, which is, of course, what you're hoping for.
And we have not seen. We've seen 11 plays of it, but this would be big. Yes.
It would be nice to have a more intact defense when we're about to face this Detroit.
I'm looking forward to this game. I really am.
I am too. I'm going to be rooting for Detroit all the other weeks.
Yeah, but not this one.
And maybe not at the end, because if we're jockeying with them for playoff position and we're not getting ahead of ourselves, it's only been one quarter.
Right.
That's basically what Todd Bowles said today.
Yeah.
He's like, it's the start of the second quarter. He's like, we haven't done anything yet.
No. And I appreciate that. But, sometimes you just got to. Yay for us. And again, I'm very excited for the Detroit fans because, they even show up on Thanksgiving when their team sucked. when the team was the turkey. That's
yeah.
what I did there.
Yeah, I did see. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Great.
You got anything else?
A little bit.
Okay.
As long as we're talking about NFC South news, did you see that the Falcons traded for Van Jefferson?
I did.
I don't know how much impact that's going to have, but I've always thought it seemed like he was underutilized there in L.A., and now, of course, Puka Nacua comes out of nowhere.
Yeah,
Cooper Kupp's back and immediately putting up huge numbers against
him. He wasn't getting any real touches as it was. So
we'll see if that makes a difference for Atlanta. They're going to, they have to throw the ball. They run like way more than most teams.
Well, they got a good running back. So
they do. Yeah. They got a couple of them.
There is a reason for that. So
this has become all the rage. Every trade now is we get the player in a seventh round pick for a sixth round pick.
Yeah.
And it's about as small of an impact. And sometimes it's not even the next draft. It's like a swap of 6 or 7 in 2025.
It's almost like a bag of footballs.
Yeah. It's like you get it usually means that team would probably have released that player. And so they're like, well, we'll take anything we can get. And if you guys do this very minor swap, you don't have to worry about trying to get them on waivers. You get them.
You got them. Yeah. Fair enough.
So I think, what else? There was one of those recently, Denver, Randy Gregory. I think they ended up trading him to San Fran.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They did.
I think, believe that was another 6 for a 7. Right. I just think I've seen 3 6-for-7 round draft swaps in like the last couple weeks.
Sure.
That's just all the rage.
Gets the deal done. Gets the deal done.
Yeah. I mean, we hashed out so much about
it. We did.
One more thing.
All right. One more thing.
And then we'll do the interview with Trey, and then we'll do fans questions.
Okay. Cause you're up at, you're about right. We're almost at an
okay.
hour.
One thing I did with some extra time during the bye week was went back and really looked closely. I watched every play of the New Orleans game, watched it over. Because when you're there and you're writing a story about it, you miss some things.
Correct. Did you watch the TV copy?
TV, that's all I had access to.
Okay, you didn't do the All-22.
I don't have access to All-22 right now. Mm-hmm. I think we're working to correct that. But it was good because you learned some stuff that the announcers point out. But one thing I saw, and I had to... Like, I had to rewind it, like, 3 times. Like, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? And what it looked like, excuse me. So, I think it was in, like, maybe the second quarter. It was a play, I don't know if you remember, that it was going to be an end around to Chris Godwin.
Mm-hmm.
But the play was stopped because of a Kate Otten flinch, false start. And I'm looking at this play from behind. And I'm like, why is Baker Mayfield lined up behind the right guard? Because Baker Mayfield was lined up behind a lineman, and then to that lineman's right was one more lineman, which if he was behind the center, that should be the right guard. And then the next guy, where I would expect the tackle to be, was Coe Keeft, and then Kate Otten passed him. And then I'm looking like, where's Gedeke? And I finally realized that they had taken the right tackle, Luke Gedeke, and put him on the left side next to Tristan Wirfs. So it was an unbalanced line. And they did it for a reason. Now, I went and asked Joe Gilbert, the O-line coach, about it. He was very gracious to take a little time to explain to me. I'm not going to get into that conversation because I don't want to give away
what
they were trying to do or why they think this is a...
It was done on purpose.
It was 2 plays in a row because they lined up that way, and then New Orleans called a timeout, and then they lined up that way again, and then neither play actually happened because of a timeout than a penalty. But there was purpose to this, and I'm not going to get into it because I don't.
Interesting.
I appreciate a coach telling me things. Yeah, I'm not going to then turn around and tell everybody.
No.
I wasn't even 100% sure you were allowed to do that.
Yeah.
I guess you are. And as long as the lineman on the end of each line, the ineligible lineman, so Luke remains ineligible, even though he kind of is lined up like a tight end where a tight end would be, those guys are still ineligible because they would have to declare eligibility. Right. And then if Coe Keeft was acting as the tackle instead of a tight end, he would have to declare himself ineligible, which is something New England toyed around with a couple seasons ago and caught a couple people by surprise. So what was my point?
So the fact that there is a play like that, it is
legal. I didn't know you could
you
do
didn't
it.
See it. I didn't realize
I
it.
I couldn't remember seeing it before.
You didn't believe what your eyes were showing you.
And I didn't notice it during the game.
Yeah.
When the game was actually happening, I did not notice that we had an unbalanced line.
Mm-hmm.
It was just what caught me. And I probably wouldn't even notice here if I didn't see it from behind and go, why is Baker behind the guard instead of the center? He was behind the center.
Right.
So like I said, the Detroit's doing some interesting wrinkles.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Bucks do this a lot? No. But they might do it from time to time. And I guess some teams do from time to time. I'm not giving away any secrets because it's right there on film.
Yeah.
But I'm bringing it up because that I was like, I don't think I've seen that before. So I'm bringing it up basically to describe my reaction to what I was seeing.
And that's what's fun about the NFL. You think you know, you've seen everything, and then you haven't. So
Okay. A lot of this stuff, I wrote down a bunch of notes from the game, but we already talked about the game, so I think that's enough.
Okay.
We'll get to Trey, and then we'll answer your question.
The Salty Dogs.
And we're back here on the Salty Dogs podcast. I'm Scott Smith.
And I am Jeff Ryan.
And now this is the best part of our show each week. We have with us our special guest, rookie wide receiver Trey Palmer. Thanks for your time, Trey.
Thank you.
So I want to start here. Draft weekend. The Buccaneers were as they reported afterwards, were really surprised that you were still on the board when you were. They actually traded a fifth-round pick next year to get that pick to pick you. What was that? I'm not trying to bring up bad memories, because it doesn't matter how you got here. You just perform when you get here. But how was that weekend for you?
It was really pretty basic, really. I was just waiting on my name to be called. I wasn't really, like, into what round I got in or where I got drafted. I was just like, wherever I got drafted, I'm just go out there and perform, practice hard, and just do what I do and show people what I got and what they missed on whoever missed on me.
I think we've all seen probably the number one thing about you is you seem to have an absolutely unshakable confidence in yourself as a player. Is that an accurate thing to say?
I mean, I wouldn't call it confidence. It's just something that I do every day. So it's like built on, like I'm just doing it constantly. So it's just a day in life now. So basically, I'm just living life.
You expect to do it.
Yes, sir.
That play that you scored your second touchdown already in four games on in New Orleans, three guys on the other side, and you're isolated over here, and you just run the fade. We've been watching that play for years thrown to Mike Evans. Obviously, he was out of the game. I mean, I think it says a lot. How do you feel about it that they were confident in you making that play? That's not an easy play.
I mean, they called the play, and I thank them for, like, just giving me the opportunity to show my talent and really make the play. I just saw ball, got ball, and I do it every day at practice. I work on my hand-to-eye coordination, just focus on the ball, don't even see the defender, and that's all I saw was the ball.
I like that. Saw ball, got ball. Cuts it really quick.
He's been doing that a lot since he got here.
Yeah. You know, back to your confidence or you just expect to do it, has this always been your demeanor in playing football or perhaps even in life?
I mean, this is how I approach life. Like, I look at life like, and football is the same thing. Like, I go out there, you're going to make mistakes in life, you're going to make mistakes in football. So I go out there and really just be free, play loose. And when I'm loose, I feel good. So, like, that's how I look at life. Stuff go come, it's just how you react to it. That's how I always look at things. Like, when life comes, when life is, it's always about how you bounce back, not, like, what you're going through. So I just look at everything like that. And, like, on the football field, it's reaction game because they got zones, they got mans. Different techniques, different DBs got different techniques, so I just play off what I see.
Are you a talker on the field?
Sometimes.
Give us an example.
This isn't on camera, so yeah. I'll tell the fans that. He had a pretty little sneaky grin when he said that.
Yeah, you got an example?
I mean, it's really no example. I just, you know, it's just me. Like, I'm always the nitpicky person. I'm always, like, having my hands on the DB at the last minute of the play. Like, I'm always trying to get in a DB head, like, even the little thing. So I'm just always there.
I knew he was a kind of a little bit of a trash talker because walking down the hall, he is going, Salty Dogs!
I'm looking right now at your stats from college. Obviously, you started at LSU, which is a cradle for receivers in recent years. And then you went to Nebraska. I thought of that because I'm seeing your Husker shirt there. You know, what happened? What was different? What was the difference? Was it just opportunity in Nebraska? Because your numbers just shot through the roof when you got.
It was the opportunities and the offense was using me more in the play call, basically just giving my opportunity to show them what I got, and that's what they did.
Who's the fastest guy on the team?
I don't know. I ain't that fast, though. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Nah, I ain't that fast. But ain't that fast.
Yeah, but you're at the right place to catch the ball. So, you know, either you got great.
Yeah, I just be at the right place at the right time.
Put yourself in position, then you don't have to run around.
Yes, sir. If you look at it, I don't even run at top speeds, though.
Really?
No?
Yeah, I really don't.
Okay.
Wow.
You're just playing possum in case the TVs are listening to this.
People are going, oh, great. Okay, well, the Lions are listening right now going, oh, we're in good shape.
What about now you're not here. This is your first year, so this isn't a brand new thing to you compared to the rest of the franchise, but we had Tom Brady for 3 years, and now we have Baker Mayfield, and I think it's going really well, which probably was expected in the building, but national expectations weren't really the same. So what have you felt about Baker, how he's handled himself, how he's running this offense?
I mean, Baker is a great guy. He always, you know, talking to me what I did on this route, what I did on that route. Like, he always correcting and being a leader. Like, he's really a leader, and, like, he shows it. And I love his energy.
Yeah. Contagious?
Definitely contagious. Like, you see your quarterback, the motor of the offense, like, doing everything, you know, telling you everything, like, okay, let's do it. So
when he talks to you, how does that, is that during a game or is that like after practice? You know,
it's both. It's like in a game, it's practice to, like, I feel like in the game, it's practice for real, for real. I don't go in the game like, dang, this is a game day. I go in there like, it's practice. I'm finna, like, go out there and just do what I do every day.
practice for real. I like that. I totally like that.
You got to hand it to him. He's been saying the same message since he got here.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard you say that many times. Baker Mayfield today just got announced that he's – you guys selected him as one of the team captains. Two of the other ones are in your room with Mike and Chris. It's the obvious question, but what is it like – coming into the NFL as a receiver and then being in the same room as two really established superstars?
I mean, it's just a blessing to have those guys around me my first year and really teaching me, and I'm learning from them. It's just not like I'm just out there. They, like, really teaching me and
teaching me
the game. So I'm, like, I'm loving it, and I'm blessed to be in the opportunity that I'm in.
What's the biggest difference between college and pro for you?
Got to practice like a pro. You got to go out there, approach everything as a pro. There's not no mistakes out there. Like, you got to go out there and do it.
Mike's 10 years in and still playing like he's 25 years old, and he accredits that a lot to throughout his career. He's learned how to take care of himself and says he's in his best shape now that he's ever been. Are you learning that kind of stuff from him,
yes,
too?
Yes, sir, like eating habits, your days off habits, like what you're doing when you leave the building, because you're only here for a certain amount of time. What you're doing outside the building, is you studying, is you like getting massages and manicures, pedicures, or whatever it might be that's hurting you. You got to make sure you come back the next day ready.
Okay. Well, you're coming off a bye. How was your bye week?
Oh, it was good. I was just recovering, relaxing, playing the game. Nothing too major. I went to go see my kids.
Nice.
Took my whole family out to eat. Like, something simple.
How many children do you have?
I got three.
Really?
Nice.
What are the ages, if I may ask?
All of them, too.
All of them, too?
Yep. Three different. But I was just living fast, and I just accept my responsibility, and I'm blessed to have them three, like, in my life.
Boys? Well,
all boys.
Yes, all boys.
Wow.
You got a lot of youth sports in your future.
I can't wait to be at the games hollering at them.
It's definitely a lot of fun.
You're going to be that kind of dad, huh?
All right, have you looked into the Lions at all? I guess you guys are just probably starting to work on them, but they're one of the big stories in the NFL, as are the Buccaneers, 4-1. They haven't won their division since 93. Their fans are really going nuts. I mean, have you looked at their team and seen where you think they have strengths and weaknesses?
I don't really care for who's in front of
me.
That's right. I'm just going out there to play ball. Like, at the end of the day, it's a mano a mano, man versus man. Your matchup.
I like that.
That was a dumb question on my part.
Well, I wasn't going to bring it up, but since you did.
Well, you can't run.
You could definitely tell by the answer he gave you, three words. You go to high school. How does a high school in Louisiana have the name Kangaroos?
Honestly, I don't even know.
I mean, seriously.
I do not know.
I looked at that and I was trying to, I said, oh, there's got to be this story.
Did they have kangaroos on your jerseys? Like, did you have
We had them on like hoodies and stuff.
Uh-huh. On the side of your helmet? Or
had a K.
Okay.
And my last year, we just had all white helmets with an orange face mask, like the creamsicles.
I like it. But I'm not crazy when I see kangaroos. Yeah.
Kangaroos are badass, though.
Yeah. They can punch.
Yeah. I went to the state championship three times out of my 4 years in high school.
Nice.
Wow.
What level was it?
It was one little small 1A.
Yeah. 1A. It's still. All right. My next one.
Our last one, Jeff.
Okay.
It's 10 minutes.
All right. He's always worried about time.
Got to stick to our word, man.
I'm watching the man. He's chilling. He's laid back.
He hasn't even had lunch yet.
He's got his hands folded, and he's thinking, I don't have to go in open locker room if I sit in here with you guys. A couple times I've seen on your Twitter account that you, in the morning, you go, I woke up pissed off. What is that about?
Sometimes I just wake up pissed off.
And you just like... That's it. No reason whatsoever. You go to bed happy, you wake up
pissed off.
And that drives
you. Does that set your tone for the day?
If you see it, you see it. You can't say nothing. It's proof. Like, it's out there. Like, when I wake up pissed off, it's just I woke up pissed off.
So you're a man of your word.
Yeah, I'm a big man of my word.
I totally appreciate it.
Did I see that you didn't keep your ball after your first touchdown?
I wasn't trying to. But they did give it to me.
I wasn't
trying to keep it. I'm like, it's okay. It's got plenty more to come.
That's right.
The same.
Somebody else was mic'd up, and you were talking to him, and we heard you say that. He's like, it doesn't matter. I got a whole bunch.
I totally love that. Like, it's one of many. What are we doing here?
Right.
It's your first one. So, actually, what you need to do is you need to keep your first one. You need to get your second one. You need to find your third one, because your boys are going to want those. Mm-hmm. So, isn't that like the best gift ever?
Presents.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like my boys gonna be here, so like they can see their daddy perform. So like, they gonna come to the games, be like, okay, my, you know, like when they get older, they gonna understand football more, so they'll be like,
gotcha,
okay.
So I don't really be tripping on.
He sounds like,
all right, Trey.
I just go out there and try to help the team win. That's
I
all.
Totally appreciate
well, we get
that.
It. We and, totally get it,
and we love the fact that you took some time to sit down with us.
I thank you for
Thanks
having
again.
Me. The Salty Dogs.
All right, so. Here is the question. The first, this is the question that I missed that we referred to above, from Stefan in Berlin, who we've.
Aren't you going to say, isn't it great to have so and so?
What?
Aren't you going to talk about our guest first?
Okay, yeah, that was a cool interview. We try. Are you happy now? Just because we usually do something a certain way doesn't mean we have to do it the same way every time.
Okay.
Would you like to make some comments about his?
I still like the Kangaroos. You got to give me credit for that.
Yeah, I don't know where a high school team comes with the Kangaroos.
Okay, you can continue, and I'm not going
to
edit any of this out. This
I don't
is
want
real
you
stuff.
You do you. Joe.
You do you.
All right. This is from Stefan, and he says in a PS that I did an excellent pronunciation of his last name 2 episodes ago, and it looks to me now like Bornhoft. But I probably just screwed myself because I probably said it right last time and now I messed it up.
Yeah.
But whatever. At least I did it well once.
But he's back.
The first question he sent to me that I accidentally skipped last week goes, Ahoy, Salty Ones. I'm still positive. This was after the Eagles game before the Saints game. So understand when he says, I'm still positive about our beloved Bucks like Richard T., which was one of our other questioners.
Uh-huh.
Looking forward to beating the Saints on Sunday, which
you did.
Stop Kamara.
Yeah.
Did that
did
mostly.
That.
I mean, 13 catches for 33 yards, something like that. Like the lowest number of yards a player's ever had.
And that was
catches.
His first game back. Talk about having fresh legs.
He says, stop Kamara, pick off Jameis 3 times. At that point, we all thought Jameis was going to start the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to pick him off 3 times because he only threw 1 pass. But we did.
Yeah, but we did pick him off. He only got 1 INT because he only threw 1 ball.
And beat their defense through the air with Mike, Chris, and Trey. Well, I think we did it. Mike was off to a good start before getting hurt. Chris caught 8 for 114 or something, and then Trey had the big touchdown.
Yeah.
Okay, so a question for Scott. He calls it the stats guru. Which position group on offense fumbles the ball the most?
Well.
He said, I would guess QB.
Wow.
Thanks for reading, and go Bucks. Stay healthy and greetings.
See, I would say running back.
You would be so wrong. Didn't I tell you the stats on this?
You did, but I'm playing along.
Okay.
I mean, because that was my answer when you asked me the other day about it, and I said running back.
I had this all queued up during our podcast. I had this page open. I have to go through it again here on Stathead. Fine. Okay. So if you go, let's say the last 10 years. Cool?
Right.
Last 10 years.
Fair enough.
Most fumbles, we'll rank them by fumbles. Let's say you had to have, we'll do a little statistical filter, you had to have, say, 15 fumbles.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fair. That would be good.
All right. Here's that list.
Okay.
It's good podcasting right here. Listening to me watch it. Okay.
All right. There you go.
Number one on the list is Kirk Cousins.
That's a quarterback.
With 85 fumbles over the last 10 seasons, including this one.
Wow. So,
number two on the list is Derek Carr. With 81. That's a quarterback.
That is.
Number three on the list is Russell Wilson with 80. That's a quarterback. Number four is Matt Ryan with 76. And he hasn't even played in the last half year.
Yeah.
Number five on the list is Carson Wentz. Do you
get
an idea where I'm going with this?
So when does a running back hit it?
I will tell you. If I kept doing this little bit and going number six, number seven, we'd be here for a while.
Really?
Because the very first quarterback non-quarterback on the league, Tom Brady. By the way, Tom Brady's 18th. Where's Baker on this list? Well, that's kind of good that I'm not seeing.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, he's 24th.
All right.
You do not get to anything other than a quarterback until number 41.
No way.
Melvin Gordon.
Let me get up here.
Look, go ahead, read the list. You know those guys. Those are all quarterbacks. Jay Cutler's still on the list, and he hasn't played since 2017.
Wow. That's crazy. Ryan Fitzpatrick, number 27. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Good and bad quarterbacks. It really isn't a referendum on how good they are. There was great names on there, and there was kind of some crappy quarterbacks. Because quarterbacks get hit when they have the ball out in their hand and are not expecting it.
Right.
Running backs usually can tell when a hit's coming.
Right.
And also train really hard to know how to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, quarterbacks usually it's on the blind side. So
Melvin Gordon is the first non-quarterback on the list at 26.
Jeez.
And then the next one is Ezekiel Elliott, who's 48th with 23.
That's crazy.
So only two of the top 50 are not quarterbacks.
That's totally.
It's just a hazard of the occupation.
I'm not all into that stuff, but that's pretty cool.
That stuff being stats?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
So I had emailed Stefan back and said, I'm sorry, I forgot. We'll get it next week. So he goes, he responds, hi, Scott. Even the best wide receiver drops a ball sometimes.
Wow.
You had lots of questions, which he says equals targets. Uh-huh. So to drop one. My question is okay.
Great.
So I'm resolved. But I mean, and then I came back and I recovered the fumble too because I just answered it.
Uh-huh.
I still listened to the last episode. It was funny again, and I also smiled for 3 days, like we were saying.
Yeah.
After the win over the Saints. Now, a question for the next episode: which player (parentheses) free agent next year would you and Jeff re-sign first?
Oh.
Hope you two had a good bye week. Greetings from Berlin again. Okay.
Well.
Do you want to know who I already know who my choice is. Do you want me to go first?
Who I would re-sign first?
That's going to be right now is scheduled to be a free agent next year on our roster right now.
Tell us who's going to be.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you my answer first.
Okay.
And that is Antoine Winfield.
Yes.
Who's in the final year of his original 4-year
deal. He was my number one guy you need to sign.
Okay, me too. Now let's see who some of the other choices have been because I'm looking up the list.
Okay.
Jamel Dean. No, we re-signed him.
He's under.
Oh, I'm looking on the wrong year.
Yep.
Looking on the wrong year.
He got re-signed last year.
Yeah.
Got the big money.
Okay. Well, Mike Evans, we all know what's happening with that.
Yeah. Oof. That's a hard one.
I said Antoine off the top of my head, but this is going to become a more difficult conversation now.
Why?
Well, you might want Mike.
Okay. I'll play devil's advocate here for a second. You only got so much money, right? So... yes. Do I want Mike Evans back? Absolutely. But I think that Winfield is more valuable at this stage on this team.
I don't know. Mike's still awfully darn good.
Well, he's not darn good. He's great.
Let's say as we discuss this, that we don't want to lose any of these guys.
Okay. Yes.
The question is, who's your number one on your list?
Yeah.
And it's really hard now that I'm looking at the list because it's Mike Evans, Devin White, who's really playing well. Levante, of course, because he just signed a 1-year deal.
Well, but you got to take in Levante's age.
Baker, I mean, what if he continues to do this well? Wouldn't you want to lock him in long term? Or at least for a few more years? Wouldn't he also want that, I would think?
I think Baker would want it, yes.
Greg Gaines, Will Golston, Matt Filer, the starting guard, Winfield, Aaron Stinney, Ryan Neal, the safety, Chase Edmonds, Keyshawn Vaughn, Zach Trenner, the long snapper, our kicker, Chase McLaughlin, Cam Gill, Justin School, D. Delaney, Nick Leverett, David Wells, Devin Tompkins, and Brandon Walton.
Wow, the front office has got a lot to figure out.
So without, I don't think it would be any insult to anybody to say that the top five guys that would be targeted here would be Evans, White, Levante, Baker, and Antoine Winfield.
Oh, I agree 100%, yeah.
You could probably put those guys in a different order each time you're asked this question.
But the other side of the coin, too, is that are you thinking with your heart or are you thinking with what you could afford? That's the other problem.
You can afford anything if you try hard enough.
You think?
That's how we did it for 3 years.
Yeah. Okay.
That's how the Saints have done it for like a decade now.
Right. So you push it down the road?
Well, I mean, our cap situation is not as bad. It's not great.
No.
It's not as bad going into next year. You probably can't. Probably can't resign everybody that you want.
No. What? Can you ever?
Well, we did after the Super Bowl.
Well, there's that.
Okay, so I will answer it this way.
All right.
My answer of the one I'm going to choose does not automatically mean that we lose any of the others.
Correct. I like that.
I'm going to stick with Winfield because I think he's, as Rondé said, he might be the best safety in the league.
I agree.
And I just think he's key to what we're doing here.
He's very key to what we're doing. He's also still young.
He's young, yeah.
And so...
he's 25.
Yeah. So if you sign him again, he could almost get a third year.
Third contract?
Third contract, yeah.
Boy, it's hard not to say Mike Evans, though. I want Mike Evans to finish his career in a Bucs uniform.
No question. No question.
And I'm hoping, because of positional value, by the end of the season, the best answer might be Baker.
Mm-hmm.
If Baker plays as well through the balance of the season as he had so far.
Yeah. What I like about with Baker is what he's saying about how he feels about the team and how he feels about living in the Bay Area and how he feels like he's having fun again. And I think that plays a big role in his decisions of where to go. And I just don't think it's just about the money. Now, he's going to be a $20 million-plus quarterback, right, you would think? A year?
I don't really know what the...
I mean, what's the average quarterback right now?
That's a good question.
I mean, it's crazy money right now for a quarterback. So if he has that type of success that we think he's going to have this year, that's a factor. But it also helps when a guy really, you know, hey, they gave me another chance. And not that you get a hometown discount, but, you know, when you're talking that kind of money, you kind of want to be where you want to be. Also, there's no state income tax.
Jeff making the pitch.
I'm just saying.
I'm not here to answer if we can or will re-sign these guys.
Right.
I'm just.
Yeah, giving. It's a fair question.
I'm just answering the question.
What would be, you know, that's your, you know, that's what's your top five? These are my top five.
Yeah, let's just say those guys are all tied.
I would say.
Okay.
That's a hard question.
It's a hard question. It's a little early, too.
And I think the other side of the coin, too, is that you would, if you ask it on a different day, you'd probably come up with different answers, but it would be the same top five.
Probably the same top five. You just might put them
just
in a different
order, yeah. Okay. That's a good question.
We're
going to find out, so save that question.
Okay. This is from Todd, who's from Lake Panasoffkee. Here in Florida.
All right.
Dogs, great win in the Big Easy. The defense looks awesome, and the offense is doing enough, and will get better with time. I would like to give a shout-out to Jason and the scouting staff to bring in players like Tompkins. Did we do this one already? To bring in players like Tompkins, Palmer, Camarda, McLaughlin, Canales, Mayfield, and a host of others.
No.
The future looks blindingly bright. My question is, with us eating all of Brady's cap this year, how much does that help with next year's free agents? So this is... Love the podcast, Todd Birchfield, Lake Panasoffkee, Florida. So this dovetails directly from what we were just talking
about.
Sure. If you look on SpotTrack, which is where you can find...
See, all this stuff just is not off the top of your head.
I know where to find it.
Well, that's true. You do. You're very good, Mr. Wizard.
And let's see. Let's look at the cap tracker. Let's go to the cap tracker. Go to 2024.
All right.
And go to the Buccaneers.
Where are we at?
Okay. I think that's this year.
Yeah. I don't know.
2024.
Yeah.
Well, right now, according to SpotTrack, what does it say here?
And the good news is the cap will go up during 2024. So that's a plus. What do you got?
I'm trying to see what the...
With the dollar?
How much we have.
Space?
Space is it's available.
Oh, okay. It doesn't show space?
I'm not doing a good job of this right now.
No, you're not.
We have $3.4 million, according to this site, which would be 25th.
Right.
That's with contracts right now.
Okay.
2024.
Current
bucks.
Contracts. So,
you
want.
Now, we hope
yeah.
that guys like Mike Evans will be back. But right now some of them... have like voidable years and things have been restructured. So even if you don't re-sign them, they do impact the salary cap.
Dead money.
Yeah, dead money. Mike Evans would have a void cap hit of about $12.2 million if he goes somewhere else. You can, of course, that's the thing. You can often reduce a guy's cap hit by re-signing him because you can structure the contract in a way where it doesn't hurt as much this year, depending on, especially if you put some voidable years on the end.
Right. It's amazing the math of all of this.
So, right now that has us at.
Yeah, see, I get so confused in all of that just simply because, like you said, you add years, and
well, it has us at $221 million worth of salaries right now.
Wow.
Some of that is, and then there's already some dead cap. We've got a variety of that. The good news as. This questioner noted is that we took the entire hit from Tom Brady's dead cap figures
this year. Yep.
So I'm looking at 2024. There's none from Brady. We're done. Price.
Yep.
And that is over now.
We paid the bill. We have receipts.
It was a total of $35 million. Mm-hmm. We could have roughly split that in half. but we didn't.
Right.
And so he's currently, right now, Tom Brady, who's not on our team, is occupying 15.43% of our cap space. So we're taking the whole hit now in order to have more flexibility in 2024. Right. I'm having a hard time giving you exact concrete numbers on what that is.
Yeah.
But it definitely is helpful.
Yeah.
So that'll help. Sure. That'll help.
Yep.
Okay. Hope we got that one.
That's a good one.
This is from Richard Bartoli.
All right.
Which, not sure we've had a question from Rich yet.
Where's he from? Does it say?
West Virginia.
Oh, okay, good.
Greetings from wild and wonderful West Virginia. I'd love your thoughts on ranking the NFC teams. I think which we kind of already did.
Yeah.
I think I put Tampa Bay at 4, but not sure about the Cowboys and Seahawks.
Yeah.
So he goes 1, 49ers, 2, Eagles, which is how he wrote it, Eagles.
Sure.
3, Lions, then 4,
wow.
5, 6, Bucks, Cowboys, Seahawks. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping the Bucks will prove they're better than the Lions this week, or at least we were on that day.
Yeah.
But I think it's fair to put the Lions ahead of the Bucks right now. I mean, they are 4-1.
4-1, and they're playing well.
And they're top 10 right now in both offense and defense.
So,
So, yeah, I mean, if you were to
fair
put
enough.
I think the Bucks versus Cowboys would be a pretty tough game. I do like us a little better than the Seahawks right now.
Mm-hmm. I do too. But
I think that's a fair ranking.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we just
nice job.
I'm going to look real quick because this. When are you going to put this up, Jeff?
Tomorrow.
Okay, so by then the injury report will be out.
Yep.
So I'll just let people know that are listening that maybe didn't
see
that.
Oh, you know, wait. It may go up tonight.
It's okay. It'll still be out by then.
Oh, okay.
Jamel Dean was full participation.
Yay.
Servassier was full participation.
Good. We thought that.
Kalijah, full.
Nice.
Ryan Neal, full.
Ooh.
Anthony Nelson, who I didn't even realize had a concussion,
is
full.
Yeah.
Derek Pitts, the rookie corner, had a hamstring, full. Devin White, he's been dealing with a foot injury but got a lot of treatment, he told us, over the bye week, full. Luke Getteke, I did not realize he had a calf injury.
And
he was limited today.
Oh.
And then wide receiver Mike Evans, with the hamstring, did not participate. I wouldn't read too much into that.
No, it could be a veteran type thing.
Well, also, he doesn't need a ton of practice. Right. I'm sure they're going to be as careful with him as possible to try to get him to
the game. Let's see how you look on Sunday.
Yeah. So that's pretty encouraging, right?
Very much so.
Let's just quickly knock off the last couple.
Okay.
Alexander from Brazil.
What do you got?
I got a feeling. I hope this finds you both well. I got a feeling that you'll get Levante to talk on the show. No. So I'll make a question that can be asked to him since he already wore those creamsicle uniforms before. Are they fresher than playing in the pewter? Does it really make any difference? I don't think it really makes a difference, but they're excited about it.
Yeah. You don't think we can get Levante on the show? Is that what you said?
Not before the game.
Not before the game.
We can't get Levante. Yeah. I guess he thought, it makes sense, Alexander figured the guest we would ask for would be the only guy that's actually played on our current roster.
Which actually makes really good sense. Yeah. Why did you send that in earlier, crying out loud?
Well, he sent it on Monday. When I asked. I will say I asked Trey on Monday early afternoon when we got to go in the locker room.
Okay.
And this didn't come until 4.
Right.
So we already had our guest lined
up. So if you have programming suggestions, make them early.
Now, if I'm wrong in my premise, he says, looking at the photos posted Monday, is it safe to say that the Lions will be wearing their white uniform on Sunday? Do you guys know that? Can you guys share this info on the show?
I would say yes, because there's always one team in dark colors and one team in light colors.
The home team, and this happens in the spring, gets to decide what jersey color they're going to wear for each home game.
Right.
And then if you're wearing white, the other team has to wear their colored jerseys and vice versa.
I told you why they do that, right? The reason why one team wears a dark color, one team wears a...
Seems kind of obvious, but...
What's that?
You see who's on your team, like a quarterback.
Well, yeah, but I mean, actually, it was because of black and white TV.
Oh,
so the person at home could see because there wasn't color, so you saw the dark and the white, and that's
okay.
How's that?
So they have to wear a white jersey. I think they could wear whatever color pants they want.
Right,
to.
But
they
I think they're in white.
They have to be.
Yeah.
Because we're wearing, even though it's not a very dark color, it is
orange.
It's orange.
Dark.
It's not the white jersey.
Yeah. We're not all orange, are we? We're orange, white pants.
I believe it's white pants and orange.
Okay.
Right? That's the way we did it before, and I think we're doing the same thing.
All right.
Okay. So, it should be white.
All right,
two more real quick.
All right.
Ahoy, Salty Dogs. I've been listening to your show since March of this year.
Wow.
And you guys are doing a great job.
A late comer.
I'm a big fan of the show. Yeah, I don't know if we have an archive or not.
Yeah.
I've been a Bucks fan since the year I was born in 1994. which was my third year with the team.
Yeah, same here.
My question is, since
it's my fourth year with the team, well, welcome to the club, buddy boy.
My question is, since you guys have been covering the Bucks for a long time, is this the most rookies we've ever had on the roster in team history? Mm. If not, what's the record? Thanks for answering my question, if you get it. And this is sincerely Dan from Eastlake, Florida, which I think he's the first time he sent us a question.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Dan.
I'm going to give you an educated guess that the answer is yes.
I would guess that.
But that is a difficult thing to look up, yeah. I will tell you.
You tried.
It would have taken a long time. I will say you used to have a lot bigger draft classes. So mm-hmm. like in 1987.
13 rounds.
There were 12 rounds then.
There were 12.
And the Buck, due to some trades and so on, the Buccaneers actually, that was the Vinny Testaverde trade.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you how many players the Bucks drafted that year.
Hmm. Holy smokes.
That's not the... Okay. Oh. 20.
All right.
Now, I know all of them didn't make the team. Somebody named Scott Cooper, Reggie Taylor, mm-hmm. Joe Armantrout, Stan right. Mattelli. These guys that are taken in like the eighth and farther down. But Vinny made the team. Ricky Reynolds made the team. Winston Moss, Don Smith, not for very long. Mark Carrier, of course.
Mark Carrier.
I'm not sure this linebacker in the fourth round, Don Graham, made the team. Ron Hill did. Bruce Hill did.
Yeah.
I think Henry Walling, the linebacker, did for a while. I don't think this Tony Mays did, or at least not for long. Steve Bartolo and Kurt Jarvis. Harry Swain, remember
yeah,
him?
Yeah, I remember Harry Swain.
So, and we don't even know if there were some undrafted guys, too. So it might not, because right now it's, what, 15?
Yeah.
That we have?
Something like that.
So it's at least one of them, but I'm just going to come straight out and tell you that it wasn't worth the amount of time it would have taken. I would have had to basically do this by
let's
hand.
Let's just say this. We have a lot of confidence in the rookies we have on this team because there's a lot of them. How's that?
13.
Mm-hmm.
13 right now.
Okay.
Okay. One more question.
All right.
Jeff is antsy to get out of here.
He's
got work to do.
I do.
I understand. So do I. Okay. This is from Makai Pallara.
Well, in fairness, we're doing this on Wednesday because I took yesterday.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
It was part of my days off. And kind of
ruined my day.
Yeah, it does. So.
Happy Creamsicle Week to you, too, and all those that celebrate.
Yep.
I have a couple questions for you, both. First, I'm so pumped for the Throwback Week. That's good.
Yeah.
These are were always my favorite games as a kid, and I'm psyched they're back after too long.
Right.
That being said, do you think we'll ever release away throwback jerseys?
Hmm.
I guess he means the white ones?
Must be.
They were also very clean and would love to own one. Hmm. I don't have any idea about merchandise, do you?
No.
Sorry.
No,
that's go not to, our areas of expertise.
Go to Buccaneers.com, go to the team store, and look and see what they have. That's all I can
Second,
suggest.
Second, after guys get not seriously injured,
yeah.
unfortunately, like Mike did, he's talking Mike mm-hmm. Evans,
yeah.
so injured and out of the game, but not like have to go to the x-ray room or go to the hospital or anything
right.
like that. Do they usually watch the game from the locker room? As a fan watching at home, it's rare we see shots of them on the sideline
right.
again after, so it had me wondering. Podcast has been great this year, extra great this year. Thanks for all the stories and laughs. I really like the quadcast with Casey and Bree. We got to do that again.
Okay.
P.S. I'm now addicted to the Immaculate Grid. Thanks, Scott.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of times, and I can tell you specifically in this last game, and we've talked about the abomination that is the Superdome and how hard it makes some of our jobs after the game. That I came down early and finished work in the locker room. So when I got to the locker room, we were on that last drive that we scored the touchdown mm-hmm. on. And so there was probably, 4 minutes or something like that, 4 game minutes left.
Right.
And there was a couple trainers in there, and Mike Evans was sitting in there watching the game and cheering. And Ryan Neal was in there because he'd been knocked out with a concussion. So sometimes they stay on the sideline, but they often do choose to go in because they can get a head start on getting dressed and showered right. and getting ready for the trip.
And if they need a little bit of treatment, they get some treatment.
Yeah, they might need some treatment. I would think if we're talking about non-serious injuries, like a hamstring that isn't going to keep you out a long time, I would say you're probably more likely to see those guys stay out on the sideline at home.
Yeah, and yes, there are a number of TVs in a locker room.
Yeah, there's always
it's TVs not just one on so, top of a file cabinet.
There were, so yeah, that's why they. That's a good guess on your part, Makai, and they do that a lot. Okay,
all right, that's very it. Good. Well, wow, we had a good one. A lot of fun. Let's see if we're salty or non-salty next week, but we're going to find out. You got anything else? That's it. All right. Since you did, thanks for listening.